Psalm 34, if you would turn there with me. Psalm 34, I will do my best to read the right verses this time. We want to pick it up at verse 15 through the end of the chapter. Psalm 34, 15 to the end of the chapter. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Amen. Let's pray for the Lord's help. Father, you are so kind and gracious, and Lord, we just need you to speak to us. Lord, more so, and continue to speak to us this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word and for your character, what kind of God you are, that would bind yourself over to us, such as we are, with these kinds of promises. Lord, it would be too fantastical to believe had we not realized that this comes from heaven to us. Lord, not something we have made up. And so we thank you for that. And Lord, we pray as we briefly and investigate and look into these things that you would help us, show us something of yourself, and minister the help and comfort that we all need. Lord, we pray it in your name. Amen. Well, today's message, today's sermon, it comes to you not so much out of my study, but out of my heart. I wasn't supposed to do this. We took a lot of body blows this week, and many of us have, and many of us, and we've often said over the last year and a half, it's been a season of trial in the church and tests. So I want to share something of the hope that we rest in, Karen and I, the hope that we all can rest in as Christians this morning, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, those that have been plucked from darkness and brought into light. And verse 18 really spoke to me this week, particularly at the end of the week. So I want to just take a closer look at this idea. Verse 18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves the crushed in spirit. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. If we had no other verse in the Bible, this verse itself is utterly overflowing, filled to the brim, as it were, and overflowing with unspeakable comfort, isn't it? The Lord, the King, the Sovereign, the Almighty, has chosen to be near to those that are brokenhearted, that are struggling, that are suffering, that are crushed. I want you to notice, first of all, this promise comes without restriction, condition, or any type of a if. David, penning this at the end of his test, when he was going to be forced to do something with the Abimelech, and he didn't want to do it, and he just juts out here, he just flows out with this: the Lord is near. The Lord has promised to be with those that are brokenhearted, those that are crushed, those that are struggling and going through trials. Without restriction, we don't have to pray a certain prayer. We don't have to bring a certain sacrifice or offering. We don't have to be in a certain condition. We don't have to have a certain level of understanding or education. We don't have to have anything. The Lord is near, he says, to those who are crushed in spirit. Beautifully, the psalm, the context, verse 17 and 19, surrounds that with a very realistic view of life. Many are the trials of the righteous. Many are the trials of his people. Sounds like our lives, doesn't it? Life in this fallen world is a series of tests, trials, pain, difficulty. We move from one thing to the other. The older you get, you think some of those things will clear up. You realize you just trade them. You trade some of those struggles for other struggles. And there is no season of life that is better than the other. It's the world we live in. Many are the afflictions of God's people. Many are the times that we will go through trials and difficulties. But gloriously, verse 18 tells us, we don't walk alone. The Lord is near. The Lord is walking with us. The Lord goes with us through the trials. It's not like he lets go and says, you go ahead. It's not like he says, I will meet you on the other side. It's not like he's sitting up on a far country and saying, I'll see you at the end. The Lord is near. The Lord walks with those who go through trials. And this was borne out in the lives of God's people, wasn't it? When he talked about David, and just consider with me for a minute how David found this to be true in his own life. Most commentators believe he was age 15, 16, thereabouts, when Samuel found him and anointed him king. One of the glorious high points of this young man, he's going to be the king of Israel. He's the chosen. Samuel the prophet confirms it. Shortly thereafter, he goes out to battle and confirms the anointing and confirms the power that God was with him. As he meets Goliath in battle, this one who defied the armies of the living God. And the anointed one, the chosen one, takes on the champion of the enemy and utterly defeats him. Everything looked good, didn't it, for David? Until the next 14 or 15 years, where David was tested, harassed, hounded by Saul, unjustly accused, hunted like a dog. And we read many instances where David could have avenged himself, many instances where he could have helped God along. And he could have brought about what he knew the truth. He knew what God had promised was going to come true. And he had many times when he could have eliminated Saul himself. But he didn't. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. The Lord is near. And ultimately, David, of course, ascended to the throne. We know that came true. He was delivered from all of his enemies and ultimately vindicated as a man after God's own heart. What was true of David was true also of the greater David, the Lord Jesus himself, who was protected by God even in death. Look at verse 20. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. I hope that that's a bit familiar to you because it's quoted in John 19:36 at the cross. When the soldiers broke the legs of the two criminals crucified with Jesus, and they came to him and they didn't. Why? Because God said not one of his bones will be broken. And what are we to learn from this? That even in death, God protects his people. Even in death, these realities are not abandoned. They're true. And we're to learn from the lesser to the greater that God protected and God delivered and God vindicated and God gloriously enthroned the Lord Jesus Christ. As he cared even for the smallest of details that not one of his bones would be broken. God, my dear friends, is always and will always provide and protect his people. He will not keep us from trials, but he will walk with us and deliver us from those trials. There's another passage in Psalm 147, if you would turn there. It's what the passage that we read earlier. And I'd like to point out again another beautiful promise that's very much like the one we just looked at. Notice Psalm 147, verse 3. The Lord heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. The Lord heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. This is even more personal, isn't it? In Psalm 34, we find that the Lord is near to those. And here we find that God goes even further. He promises to walk with us and be near with and deliver us from the trials and the problems and the sufferings that we go through. But here he says he heals us in them. The Lord heals the broken hearts and binds up their wound. Again, notice no condition is attached to this. There is no restriction. There is no element that we have to provide. This is the Lord's dealing for his people. And here again, the context of verse 3 is so critical. Because it's surrounded by promises that we consider to be miraculous, that we consider to be things only God can do. Look at verse 2. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts from Israel. What's he talking about? But he's bringing his people back from exile. The Lord scattered them, but he's able to bring them back. He's able to gather his people from east and west and north and south and bring them to himself. Think old Nebuchadnezzar. He thought he had it all going. And he had conquered Israel. But then the Lord conquered him, didn't he? sent him off for seven times of testing in the wilderness, took his mind away from him. Because God's people were under God's control, not his control. So we find in verse 2 a very miraculous thing that God will bring the exiles back. Verse 4, surrounding this promise of healing the brokenhearted, he determines the number of stars, he gives them all their names. Again, pointing to the vastness, the power, the wisdom of God, that he's cast the stars out into the sky. Just exactly enough. He knows all their names. Verse 5, great is our Lord, abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. Again, these infinite characteristics and qualities of God. And in the midst of that, we find this little statement, the Lord heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. I want to suggest that this is meant to give us exceedingly great comfort. Because often, if we're brokenhearted, often if we're wounded, we think we're beyond cure. We tend to lose hope. We tend to look at the smaller picture instead of looking at who's holding the big picture. And here the psalmist has laid out for us these infinitely powerful and things that only God can do. And in the midst of it, we're to understand that we're never healed, we're never broken beyond God's ability to heal. We're never wounded beyond God's ability to bind it up. Oh, my dear ones, what marvelous news this is. The God who has all power, the God who has all understanding, binds himself to a promise. He makes a promise he didn't have to make. That he is near, that he will come to us, that he will heal our broken, sorrowful, weeping hearts. God himself will heal us. This is the infinite creator, my dear ones, who has no rival, who has no opposition that can thwart him, who has no rival to keep him from fulfilling his promise. He can never ever fail to accomplish. And doesn't it show something of his great concern and care for us? That in the midst of running the universe, he's concerned for you and for me, for the pain that we endure, the trial that we go through, the struggles that we bear. He's concerned enough that he himself will come and walk with us and be near to us and heal us. Oh, what a God. What a God we serve. Lastly, I'd like you to turn with me to Isaiah 61. A familiar passage. But the Lord doesn't only promise to be near to us. He doesn't only promise to heal us. But he gives us insight as to how he does it. Isaiah 61, we're going to read verses 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me, and I catch this right here. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. There's all those marvelous promises of healing, release, freedom, binding up, joy and gladness instead of mourning. And it's all through he that was sent. You see that? There is one sent by God to do this healing. There is one sent by God to take care of the reversal of our circumstance. And my friends, that one is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus took this passage to himself, you remember, in Luke chapter 4, when he was at the synagogue. And he said, "Today, this passage is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus is the anointed one, the Christ, sent from God to save, the meaning of the word Jesus. He has the power, the ability, the nearness to us to heal and to bind up those who are prisoners, those who sit in ashes, those who are captive. He declares a year of jubilee, that the slavery is over. And you know what's amazing, my dear ones, is that he binds, he frees, he heals, he releases, not from a distance, not from over the next ridge, not from heaven itself. He heals us not by waving a magic wand and changing things, not by riding in on a white horse so that he might defeat our enemies. No. My dear ones, he frees us by himself becoming a captive to death. He heals us by dying in our place. He binds us up by losing his own precious blood as he poured it out for sinners. He takes our place fully and completely and perfectly. We have a high priest who's been tempted in every way that we have, who has walked in our shoes, who has endured far, far worse than we are called to endure, and who voluntarily felt the wrath and judgment of his Father for our sin. And then rose in victory afterwards with new life and victory over death. And that life for a Christian is ours. That victory over death, that release from the curse of death, that absorbing of the judgment and wrath and punishment from Almighty God has been taken away from us. And we now share in that resurrection life with our glorious, wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. And one day we will share in it fully and completely and perfectly because of Him. So right now there'll be trials. It isn't going to exempt any of us. There's going to be struggles. There's going to be pain. There's going to be despair. We will both see and experience injustice, undeserved rejection, loss. Can't expect not to endure that in this life. Life is not going to be easy or pain-free. God help those health and wealth preachers that want to say that it is. But in spite of the reality, many are the trials or the afflictions of the righteous. In spite of all of that, we can know with all the assurance that we can muster that in Jesus, in Him, all of these things will be made right one day. In Him, this world will be transformed. In Him, the curse will be utterly eliminated and removed. In Him, all of our pain will be seen as God's blessing in our life. In Him, all of our sorrow will be swallowed up in joy. In Him, all of the injustice of this world will be made right. All of our brokenness will be healed. And everything will be to the glory and praise of Him who fixed it. That's the promise of the empty tomb, isn't it? That's the promise of the faith that we look forward to. Now, we're not there yet. One day there will be a perfect world. One day. And if you're a follower of Christ, if you're a disciple of Christ, you're going to be a part of that perfect world, and you're going to be perfect. That's what this New Testament calls the blessed hope, isn't it? The exciting, joy-filled hope that we have. But that day's not here yet. So until that day comes, let's fix our eyes on Jesus. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and then sat down at the right hand of God the Father. Oh, He ruled yesterday, my dear friends. He rules today, and He will always rule. Tomorrow and tomorrow and forever. Fix your eyes on the King, who is also near to the brokenhearted, promises to never leave, and ultimately to heal His people. What a God that we serve. Let's close in prayer this morning. Gracious God, Father, we thank You for the promises that don't seem to have any end to them. They speaking to us, Lord, in our hurt and in our pain, in our loss, in the difficulties that we face. speaking to us as one who faced the same things, as one who walked the same path, as one who endured far worse than we could ever endure. These promises are so beautiful and precious to us. We thank you that you're always near to us, Lord, and that you promise to heal us, make us whole, and bring us into your presence. Lord, give us the faith to trust you in whatever we're facing, in whatever circumstances we're going through, that we might find you in the storm, or rather you might find us, Lord, and show us that you've been there all along. Thank you that you're so full of compassion and grace, and that you love us. And go with us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.